Hey guys, welcome to episode 154 of Inside the Cage. I'm Scott, and with me, as always, is Big Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm not bad, man. How's yourself?
I recovered a wee bit.
Getting better.
We made this big triumphant return saying we were going to up our game a wee bit, and then we missed the first fucking week after it. But
that's a bit unfortunate, but there's a pandemic on, but it's not quite on at this moment in time.
No, it's not as bad, but yeah, I had the dreaded COVID, so we decided just to leave it last week. Even though we record remotely anyway, I just wasn't feeling very. You can still hear it in my voice a bit. I definitely sound a bit like James Earl Jones a bit, man. Like quite dark.
You were deep enough before, but you're definitely a wee bit deeper now.
Obviously.
Then I want you coughing all the way through it either, I imagine that, every 2 seconds.
I probably will cough through most of this, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
When I get a cold or flu, I have a cough for about fucking 4 years after it, so it's a bit brutal. But, and plus, this is just going to be constant talking. The talking irritates your throat, which then in turn... Anyway, fuck it. Right.
Get yourself a lemon sup, actually, you should be doing.
I will. I've got lemon juice.
There you go, that'll soothe the throat a wee bit.
It does, I don't have an awful lot left, right enough. Right, let's get right in about this because there's loads to talk about, and as we said in the last on our triumphant return, try to change things a wee bit, do things a bit different, keep it shorter, lighter. I would imagine that this will end up being about 4 hours long, but let's go for it. So, obvious place to start, Mark, is Islam Makhachev and his. I watched that again. And his utter dominance of Oliveira, like he from start to finish, like
it was pretty dominant. To be fair, it was very dominant. He's proved he's the best lightweight in the world, no questions. There was obviously a lot of doubt. I think I'll have got a fight over Makhachev because let's be honest, he hasn't fought that top guy. He hasn't taken that top five guy out. Who you go, fuck me, right? Okay, fair enough. We know this kid's 100% the real deal. He's pulling for performance after performance, taking out the lesser guys, the guys that are in his way, just because he has to. But he proved on Saturday night, man, the guy is fucking sensational. It's fucking scary how set. We knew he was sensational, but when you're taking out a guy at that higher calibre and the way that he's done it, like straight away, that's another point straight away. We'll get to talk about this later on, but he doesn't really need to face anyone else in the division because he's taken out the guy who's beaten everyone who's in the division.
Yeah.
So straight away, you're looking at it going, well, what's next for Makhachev? Because there's fuck all else left for him. So it shows you how good and intentional a performance it was for him. His pressure was relentless. I honestly thought that Charles might have been able to do something on the ground regarding maybe throwing something up, getting that. But that, like, the IC's head pressure and his shoulder pressure, he just didn't give Charles an inch to allow him to create something, to do something, and it just didn't happen, man. It was sensational. It really was.
It was. See, if you want to listen to how the wrestling and that works, James Krause made some comments before the fight and said that Makhachev was going to destroy Oliveira. And he said, listen, I'll put my hands up if I'm wrong after it. But I can't remember the exact words because you know what I'm like. Sometimes just goes straight in and comes straight back out. But see if you can find the video of James Krause talking about this fight beforehand. Because James Krause basically described what happened for 8 minutes. It's actually quite scary. James Krause absolutely fucking nailed it. It was some performance, mate. It really was. I think that you're saying, like, obviously, yeah, he's fought the guy who's fought everybody else, but there's one guy that neither of them have fought, and he fought on Saturday night and was, again, legit sensational. I think... Excuse me. I think the problem you've got with Darius is the fact he just goes about his business quite quiet. He doesn't ruffle feathers. He isn't a massive... Like, even when Charlie won the belt, on his way to winning the belt, Charlie was quiet, didn't know too much, but then he got a bit of bravado about him when he was fighting Poirier and Gaethje, and that. He had a bit of dyed his hair, wore the sunglasses and all that. He had a bit of something about him. Makhachev's Makhachev, do you know what I mean? He's Dagestani. He is what he is on the tin, but Darius just maybe isn't a massive sell. Personally, for me, Darius versus Makhachev is like MMA dreams coming to life, mate. Like, it's like a mini Khabib versus a wrestler who, I mean, a grapple. It's just insane fight, but that's the only fight I can see. Obviously, we know what's I mean, I don't know if it's officially been announced. It's on Islam Makhachev's topology page, but it says rumoured upcoming bout against Volk. I mean, yeah, I'm all for that. Is that the fight to make? Possibly. I mean, Volk will be fighting Sunday on 2-4. Volk will be fighting Sunday.
Volk and Oscar will be fighting in Perth. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, of course.
Makhachev's up for a fight. I think if you look at both divisions, yes, you've got Dariush there, who, as you said, against Matthias Gramrot. First round, a bit eachy-peachy, but after that, he just fucking took him apart, man. Some of the transitions involved in the wrestling was fucking insane, man. We're rolling about like a fucking bowling ball out of place. It was fucking amazing. Even for me, that was good, and I'm a wrestling fan, as you know. So he is the only other person, I think, for Makhachev to fight, because it was a fight that was supposed to happen a couple of times. It never ever happened. But because of, as I said, Makhachev's doing it Oliveira, fuck it, make this basically a pound for pound fight. You've got a number one pound for pound guy versus a number 2 pound for pound guy. When are you ever, ever going to get a chance to make that fight again? And I think it would be stupid not to make it.
I totally agree. I think they should capitalise on it. I think everybody's up for it. You know, Volk, I mean, you and I were talking because we were watching the UFC at the same time on Saturday. And we both said, there's no way he'd have been allowed to jump the barrier and get in that octagon and shake hands with Makhachev if it wasn't already pre-planned by the UFC. The security, the commission would have went off their fucking head as some guy, it doesn't matter who it is, I don't care if it's Dana White jumping the barriers. If somebody jumps a barrier and then jumps in the octagon, that's not acceptable, mate, unless it's pre-planned. So I feel as if the whole thing was set up.
Let's be honest, the fact that the UFC have also asked Volkanovski to weigh in for Saturday, as he did. Also hit the point, no problems, blah, blah, blah. As part of that, there would have been a case of, look, you can get the winner in Perth, basically. That would have been part of the deal. You get winner in Perth. But if you fought on Saturday night, it's a totally different case, maybe. But basically, if you make weight for Friday, for that fight, then we will give you that one in Perth. We don't have an issue with that, whether it's Makhachev or Oliveira, whatever happens, and we will make that fight. And there's no doubt that's been said before. As you said, he's jumped the barriers, he's into the octagon. That's set up, that stage, the old WWE thing, isn't it? The way they used to do it in WWF, whatever you want to fucking call it.
It's the same when they did it with Brock and... remember when Brock Lesnar came in the ring with fucking, and they were going with Cormier, remember?
Aye.
It was all staged, it was all supposed to be a big thing that never ever happened. Listen, I'm all for the fight, I think it's the way to go. I feel for Dariush, because Dariush, basically the press conference, he looked so sad, mate, sitting there. He's earned, you know, I could have been potentially fighting tonight if O'Malley Yan hadn't been so good at potentially fighting tonight, potentially performs tonight. I thought he was absolutely superb. And he's like, what else can I do? Like, what else can I do? What physically else, what more can I do to get a title shot? And I feel for him, because I feel as if he should have fought Makhachev for number one contendership first. Didn't. I mean, who does he fight? What happens to Dariush?
I'll tell you who he fights.
Oh, I'm on then. Let's hear it.
I bet he's on that Perth card.
Backup.
I'd give him Oliveira.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like...
On the Perth card, Dariush is a backup. Look, Benil, you come down to Perth, you make weight, fight Charlie Boy, smashing. If Makhachev doesn't make weight, he's never not made weight for 155. There's probably obviously no doubt that Volkanovski will make weight anyway, but we'll put you on the card just in case something was to happen with either guy, you'd be flung in there.
Yeah.
But you would fight Oliveira, and if you beat Oliveira, you're straight in there for the next shot of the title, unless there's also some sort of controversial decision in the fight between Volkanovski and Makhachev.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that frustrates me, I suppose, is if you look at the rankings, right, I know we don't really agree with them very much, but it's handy, right, just to have a look. Poirier and Gaethje, right, are kind of like in the way there. They're kind of like in the way. Like, because for me, Dariush is the number two guy behind Oliveira. For me, Dariush is up there. For me, I think Dariush should be ahead of Poirier and Gaethje, because if you're doing it in terms of who's, these rankings should basically show you who's next in line for a title shot. That's what this will show you. You should be able to look at that and go, right, if Oliveira's not next, Poirier's next. Sorry, okay, Poirier's next. If no Poirier, then it's Gaethje. It's not Poirier or Gaethje before Darius for me. I don't think Darius should be. The only person Darius should be fighting again before Makhachev or before the champ is Oliveira, and that's only because Makhachev is going to fight Volkanovski. Obviously, it's slightly different when you pull two champs together, but two champs together is fine. They automatically just end up together anyway. I don't see anybody else being anywhere near fighting for that belt at a natural weight, like than Darius. So Darius Oliveira makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else within that division really pushing themselves forward. But look, I'm sorry, like, we always speak about the lightweight division being one of the deepest divisions, which it is. There's no doubt about that. But see, if you look at that top 15 at this moment in time,
yeah,
I'm wanting to go on like that. I don't know where the next challenger's coming from. I don't know where the next guy's coming from. I don't know who's the next guy to push these. Let's be honest, Makhachev, Oliveira and Darius are probably the top three ahead of everyone else at this moment in time by a fucking country mile. I would put my money in all three of them to beat every other single person within that top 15. You know what I mean? So they're far and away above, better than the rest. And you look at it, maybe looking at Fiziev, but really, is he all right to beat it's RDA, just, but is his body of work really enough to go, aye, he can go meet Makhachev? No.
No. This is the thing, though, like, looking at it, all of those fighters from, I would say, five down are very good fighters, and if any one of, except for McGregor and Ferguson at the bottom, any one of them fighting each other, like Chandler versus Gamrot for that, Sarukian versus Fiziev for that, Turner versus Hooker, two long range guys, all of these fights, any one of those two guys, any two of those guys fighting each other would be brilliant, but none of those guys when we make that level. Gamrot would have been your only other one, but Gamrot's big test was fighting somebody hard, durable, like Darius. Darius isn't going to stop coming for, never mind 25 minutes, 45 minutes. Darius is not going to stop coming after you. And that's exactly what happened. I love Darius, right? I love Darius still. I've always been a massive Darius fan, but I don't think he's even anywhere near the level of Makhachev and Oliveira. Even then, on that evidence, Oliveira's nowhere near the level of Makhachev. So you've got yourself a dominant champion again who is going to take some serious beating. You're going to have to chuck two guys in there at the one time to try and beat him.
I think the Darius Oliveira would be brilliant to see. I think just in general, it's a great fight. I know it was supposed to get made, I think, a couple of years back and it fell off, right? So it didn't happen. So it'd be a great fight to make. It would be great to see, as I say, Darius is taking everybody else out. He dealt with Gamrot. Gamrot, let's be honest, Gamrot's pressure on the first round was fucking ridiculous. Absolutely sensational. He's really, really pushing him. Yeah. So yes, it's maybe not the pressure of a Makhachev, but it shows that he can handle that pressure, come out the other side of it, and then go on and win the fight. So there's possible wee signs in that. You go, maybe Darius is a decent contender to go and fight Makhachev. There's definitely something there. You go, right, well, he can go and beat Makhachev because of that. He can deal with that pressure and go through the other side. He can roll with him. He can do this, that, and that, and the other. And that's maybe the only... He's the only other guy that I'd be looking at this moment in time going, like, he can go and deal with Makhachev. I'm not saying beat him comfortably or beat him easily or anything like that, but maybe possibly deal with parts of his game. But even then, I honestly thought Charles Oliveira would be able to do something, and he fucking done nothing. And it was so disappointing, man. But the first punch at Makhachev threw nearly fucking cracked him.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that was disappointing for me. Like, Oliveira didn't do anything and didn't show anything in terms of, you know, what we'd expect. You can say that's down to, you know, Makhachev being as good as he was, but I was obviously disappointed. I love Oliveira. I should be an Islam fan. I guess I probably am an Islam fan now, to be honest. Like, it's my style. I love that Russian relentless ground and pound shite, just take his fucking head off. But it's certainly interesting. It makes things interesting. I think the fight between Volkanovski and Islam for me is, make it. I'm up for that. I'm happy to do that, no problem. Oliveira Darius is a backup. Yep, absolutely fine with that as well. I think that's two good shouts, mate. I can't see it being anybody else. Happy with that.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that as well. It's the only other thing in that division. It's the only other fight to make in that division for me. I'm not really caring about the rest at this moment in time because nobody else is putting their hand up and just go, fucking, let's go. There's nobody else I've got having that at this moment in time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, any two of those guys fighting each other, I'm absolutely for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of talented guys in there. Turner Sarukian would be a good fight as well. You know, Ismagulov. These are all good fighters that are in there. Do you know what I mean? So, like, them fighting each other. Let's see if...
Well, Ismagulov and Sarukian are fighting each other. So that's a belter of a fight. That's been an absolute belter.
So there's loads of good fights making this. So maybe one of these guys goes on a bit of a run and can make beat a few of the other guys in the rankings. Maybe this time next year, if he's fought, see if Sarukian beats Ismagulov, and, you know, then maybe beats somebody else, he's got a chance, you know.
Definitely, mate. There'll be other guys coming through. There'll be other guys of similar standard and stuff like that. We just need to get these guys to get more experience. What?
Paddy.
These guys just need to get more experience, and we'll see where they go.
Right. Fuck, I don't even want to talk about this one.
With I feel the biggest talking point for this fight is not the actual fight itself. It's more how much of a cock that DJ Dillashaw is.
I was going to say how much a cock Aljamain Sterling is, but yeah. Okay. But I mean, like,
they're both dickheads.
The fight wasn't, bro, right? Because one guy had one arm, and the other guy struggled to put him away. It took him 9 minutes to put away a guy with one arm. That's bullshit, right? Aljo's attitude when he won, running around the octagon celebrating. I mean, I get it. You won a fight. Well done. Congratulations, mate. The whole thing stank for me right from, like, as soon as we knew there was something wrong with TJ. And the fact that TJ didn't even seem that concerned was a bit kind of worrying, because obviously it's something that's, do you know what I mean? Like, the fact that he knew and wasn't aboard is something that's obviously happened before that he kind of, he maybe thought was coming. Turns out that was exactly the case. Aljamain Sterling running around the octagon with his arms up cheering, jumping up on the fence. Fuck, I mean, I get it, he won the fight, but come on, man. Like, seriously. And then
if he won the fight, there'd been something serious fucking wrong, because he was fighting a one-armed man, for fuck's sake.
This is the point. I think the whole thing was just left a really bad taste. TJ basically, for TJ to say, apologise after a title fight and say, oh, sorry for holding up a division for a year, I think that's ridiculous, mate. I mean, looking at the rankings, who else would have fought in there? It wouldn't be Merab, because I think Aljamain's basically said he's no fighting Merab, basically, because they're teammates, as far as I know.
They'll never fight each other. I think I've said this to you before. I expect Aljo at some point, he's quite a big boy, to move up to 145.
Yeah.
To allow Merab to come in and basically title at some point. That'll happen, but I expect that to happen at some point. The only other one within that division you're looking at is Vera, or out of Saturday night, you've maybe now got another contender who wants to put his hand up and fight for it.
Well, maybe.
But looking at Saturday night, if TJ maybe six, fuck, you said, but was it April or March or something like that, said he injured his shoulder?
And it's popped out 20 times since.
So in all that time, I'm sure Marlon Vera would have happily put his hand up and going, I'll fight Aljo. I'll have that fight. He's probably the next in line. He was probably the guy who could maybe go, right, fuck it, we'll fight. I'll fight him. Because you're only going to make the Petr Yan fight again. He wasn't going to fight Merab. So you're looking probably at Marlon Vera was the guy who would have fought Aljo on Saturday night. And let's be honest, as we know, TJ put up, he put up a fight for a man with one arm, but apart from that, he done fuck all because he never fucking didn't have an arm.
That's the thing. It took him longer to beat TJ than it took Makhachev to beat Oliveira, and both were healthy and fit and able. You know, TJ had one arm. I don't know. Aljo's got skills. He's an absolute, excuse me, an absolute monster. He's big. He's ripped to hell. There's no body fat on that at all. He is very talented. He's a good grappler. I just felt this whole thing, mate, the whole thing, it took him ages to get him out of there. The doctor should have stopped the fight between the rounds, to be honest. Okay, he managed to pop his shoulder back in. That's fine. Fair enough. He said he wants to go. But a dislocated shoulder is a dislocated shoulder. It should be looked at. Aljamain took too long. TJ then saying he held up the division. Aljamain Sterling calling Marlon Vera Doritos and Cheetos is just, it's so cringy, man. The whole thing was an absolute shambles. It was a shambles.
It was a shambles. As soon as the injury happened, I think I texted you and went, I'm not even interested anymore.
No.
I'm not interested in the fight. Just let's move on. Let's go and get Makachev and Oliveira out. Because at that point, there was no way on earth that TJ was winning that fight in any way, shape, or form. He'd fucking one arm. He was never winning it.
It was like a... It was like waiting for an inevitability. It was like, you know what's coming. And now it's, you're like, your clock watching like, oh, fucking hell, come on, man. Like, the sooner you just get finished, the sooner we can get Makachev out.
Like, see, like, obviously, for a player, lasted the 5 minutes, right? He got to the first break. Obviously, popped the shoulder back in. That's fair enough. I don't remember did they ask him to lift his arm up or do anything with the arm to prove that it was functional? Because I don't remember seeing that.
The doctor did, yeah. The doctor asked him if he got movement and he rolled his shoulder.
So he's basically went through 10 seconds of pain just to get the fucking fight to carry on. Right? There's got to be more of an inquiry into that. Everybody can see there's a shoulder injury. If the guy can't throw a fight, or can't throw a fucking hand, or can't... Because he couldn't even defend himself with the arm either. That's the thing. He couldn't do anything. Not if he was holding it up there and just defending himself with it. He couldn't even do that. And
it's one of these things, mate. See if it's not visible, right? And you ask the fighter, are you good? He goes, I'm good, I'm fine. And he goes, like, can you move your arm? I ain't a ball. Move my arm, no ball, I'm good to go. Because at that point, the shoulder was popped back in, so the shoulder was moving fine. It'd be fucking killing him. It'll be absolutely agony. But if he's not showing it on his face and he's not complaining about it, there's nothing the doctor can do. I said as well, I think the doctor should have stopped. I think an injury like that should just... It's just, you're just doing yourself more harm. Like... They said on commentary that that's only going to get, not worse, but if you pop it out, it's going to be painful even when you pop back in, because tendons get stretched, things might get ripped, you know, bones might get chipped. It's going to be painful no matter what, if you put it back in or not. It's still going to hurt like fuck. So, I don't know. Everything about it, mate, was just poorly handled. Dillashaw should not have said anything after the fight. He should have let Aljamain do it and just get the fuck out of there. Now we know that he's basically held up the bantamweight division. He didn't need to say that. If he hadn't told us that, we would never have known. It could just have been an old historic injury that because he landed on it funny. You know what I mean? Could have been nothing. But he's told us it happened in April. It's been happening pretty much every training session since. And he knew about it and wanted to fight anyway. It's ridiculous, mate.
It's a shambles. It's an absolute shambles. This was supposed to be a bit of a... Let's be honest, a super fight. TJ was a former champion before he went down to fight at 125. He was a champion, obviously, done his fucking junkie bastardness.
I just couldn't get to the one.
He was the man, let's be honest, TJ was the man. He won the title, or he'd lost it, but then he won it back again and he held it and he had a couple of title defences under his belt. And he was the man at 135, he was a superstar. So he came back and... All right, we fought Corey Sandhagen. Did he beat Corey? A lot of people say no. I'd probably agree with that as well. But then they put him in against Aljo, who, let's be honest, had bet Petr Yan, who everybody thought was going to be the champion for a good few years, and it turned out not. So it was a massive fight. So I'd imagine Dana, Sean Shelby, whoever, will be sitting there fucking fuming that this has happened in general. Absolutely fuming that TJ Dillashaw is basically... Taking the comfy for a bit of a ride, because he obviously was probably paying an absolute fortune for Saturday night as well.
Yeah. Well,
he's going to get a shitload of money for that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm looking at his record, right? some good wins on there. But right, won the belt off Renan Barral in 2014. Lost it to Dom Cruz. Beat a Sun Chow. Maybe Pika Sun Chow would have been pretty good. John Lineker, never really that impressed by John. Then he beat Glassjaw, Cody, twice. Didn't beat Santi.
Wasn't that Glassjaw back then, but I think that's the thing with these guys. He fought a Sun Chow, Lineker and Garbrandt back 2016, 2017. That was 5 years ago.
Exactly. I'm saying, like, I don't think he's got the pedigree that what he once had. He lost to Cejudo at 125 because Cejudo was just an animal at 125. Didn't beat Sandhagen for me. It was close, but didn't beat Hans Sandhagen. And then he's just lost to Aljamain. So is he as good as what people say? Is it just that one of these things that are because he's TJ Dillashaw? Do you know what I mean?
I think the star power has definitely disappeared now with TJ. I think he's got a lot of making up to do, a lot of fights to have, a lot of everything. He could be out for the best part of a year with that shoulder injury. That could be...
Yeah.
Fighting on with that could obviously made it worse, so you could be more damaged, you could have ligaments, as you say, it could be anything. So, fuck knows when the next time we'll see TJ, if at all. That'll be interesting to see. Just, I'll be interested to see who's next for Aljo, because I really don't know at this moment in time. Obviously, he called out a few people, he mentioned a few names, but it's funny, man. I just think it's weird. I just think it's a weird, weird one.
It was, mate. It was terrible. Just a quick thing, mate. I've just been looking at the rankings, just have a look at stuff, right? And I'm jumping back to Makhachev here, so I'm sorry. Do you honestly think Makhachev is pound for pound better than Kamaru Usman?
No. That's a difficult one because Leon Edwards doesn't even pound for pound ahead against Kamaru Usman, so that doesn't.
Yeah, I would say the order's right except Makhachev. Volk, Izzy, Usman, Edwards, then maybe Makhachev. I'm sorry, Makhachev is not a better pound for pound fighter than Kamaru Usman, I don't think. Not yet, anyway, but maybe that's just me. Sorry, you better sidetrack there. I don't think TJ will fight for that belt again. I think that'll be him done. Maybe he could be a gatekeeper. He could be the guy that at the bottom of the top five, it says, right, listen, if you want a shot at the belt, you need to come and fight me. You need to beat TJ Dillashaw to get through. Guys like Rob Font, Yadong Song, Ricky Simon, all these guys, these young guys coming up, they've got to beat TJ to get a shot at the belt, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's probably where he's at. He's at that Dominic Cruz stage in his career, isn't he? Yeah. That's the kind of two guys who are probably looking at sitting there at the top 10. Pedro Munoz, Dominic Cruz, TJ Dillashaw, they took the guys at the top 10, you get by them, and you're obviously a decent fighter. You're at a decent level and you're looking at going and fighting for a title. So I'd say that's where TJ is. Wait and see. Wait and see what happens next. I'll be interested in that division because I think for me, Merab should probably be next, but obviously that fight's not going to happen with Aljo, but we'll wait and see. What about Mali?
Did he win?
Do you think so?
Do you honestly think he beat Yan?
To be honest, mate, I don't know how to call it. I was struggling really badly to actually score this fight. I think the man who looked as though he'd been in a fight was Yan.
This is why I don't agree with the whole damage thing, right? Like, I don't know if it was, maybe it was that fight. Maybe it was that fight, right? But if you catch somebody on the corner of an eyebrow with the glove, right, which is what it was, it wasn't the cleanest of punches. It was a punch. I'm not saying he didn't punch, only punched him. But other than that, Yan had no damage to his face. Other than that, okay, it was a bad cut. It was a nasty cut. It's not a nice look. But one punch on the eyebrow with the edge of the glove, I don't know, mate. Like, I'm a massive O'Malley fan. I'm a massive Yan fan. I think it was a really, really good fight. It was a close fight. But for me, there's no way O'Malley won that fight, mate. There's just no way.
I thought the more damaging shots were coming from O'Malley. That's the way I looked at it. I think maybe not, as you said, the one cut, obviously it was the edge of the glove that caught his eye. But even then, I thought his shots were the hardest, more powerful, more impactful shots. I know there was one point. I think Yan caught me one point, didn't he, with a belter? But I thought Yan was more of a more volume than anything else that was happening. O'Malley, if that makes sense. Mate, I just think it was such a hard fight to score. I'd love to hear other people's opinions on it because I don't know how I scored that. I need to go back and watch it again and maybe have another look, but I just really struggled to score this fight, really struggled badly.
O'Malley landed a lot more significant strikes, right? Actual total strikes, Yan landed more.
Well, that's kind of the opinion I got.
Yan landed 6 of 13 takedowns as well, though, and had 5 minutes of ground control. I don't know, mate. Just looking at it, for me, I just don't see how. For me, I think Yan won the first two rounds, personally. And then I think O'Malley really fucking pieced him up in the third. I maybe I need to watch it again, mate, if you're saying, because I genuinely couldn't believe when it was split. I was like, fucking hell, it's a split decision, wow, that's mental. And then they said O'Malley, and I was just like, I mean, you could see O'Malley was shocked. O'Malley was like, fucking what? O'Malley looked as if he was more shocked than anybody else, to be honest.
See, if Yan had won the fight, I wouldn't have been
Yeah.
I wouldn't have disagreed with it. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, scoring criteria is so difficult, and I think it's a lot. The good thing about MMA is you have got that. We can go, right, what is a 10-9? Boom, 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 boom. So you can see straight away, you know what you're looking for and stuff like that. But I still really struggled. Maybe I struggled to score it because I was enjoying the fight that much, because it was that much of a fucking belt of a fight. Sometimes I forget to go.
Yeah.
I don't keep an eye on this. Don't think about the scoring because I'm too going, fucking hell, what the fuck, blah, blah, blah. I'm enjoying the fight far too much. Maybe I need to go back and watch it to see from that point of view. As I said, I wasn't fast either way who won that fight. I thought it was very, very close. If we could make it again, I'd love to fucking see it again just for fun.
Absolutely. Listen, it was close, mate. It was close. I'm not saying... I mean, it was a robbery for me because, like, I don't see how O'Malley won. It was definitely a close fight, but for me, like, I don't know. I was shocked. Like, maybe robbery's harsh. I've seen a lot worse than that. Fucking Thiago.
But that's right. What I would say is I don't think it does enough for O'Malley to put him straight in a title shot next.
No, well,
he didn't do enough in the fight to go, right, just gave him a title shot now. Do you know what I mean? He didn't win the fight by the fucking country mile to say that. So there's definitely another fight there to be made.
Yeah.
So if you could even make that fight again, that'd be fucking ideal. Because let's be honest, look at that bantamweight division. And again, as deep as it is, there's no standout fights for either guy at this moment in time. Unless you're looking at Merab versus Sean O'Malley, something along the lines, I don't know.
I'd love to see that over 5 rounds. I think that'd be brilliant.
It could be absolutely class to the fair. That could be a shout, something on the lines.
Make that, I mean, I know Sean O'Malley, Peter Yan, I probably want to fight on pay-per-views, but I'd make that either a 5-round on a pay-per-view or make it a main event on a fight night.
Let's be honest, is Poirier Chandler a 5-round? I think that because there's been a couple recently that there's been obviously non-title fights have been 5 rounds. On pay-per-views, and I think, to be honest, we need more of that. I think there's definitely certain fights out there you go, fuck me, man, we need that as a fucking... as a 5-rounder, because that's an absolute beauty.
Chandler versus Poirier.
That can't be, because there's too many bets. There's two title fights on that, so I doubt it will be.
Nah, it's 3 fives. It's 3 fives.
I'm sure there's one coming up. Maybe it's...
Chandler's going to get smashed.
Yeah, I would think so.
Fucking me, there's some good fights on that, Jesus. Yeah. Listen, the fight was amazing. We're kind of coming off topic there with Sean O'Malley, but the fight was amazing. I'm pretty sure that got fight of the night. Yes, which is the way it should be. I think it was brilliant. Love to see it again, as you say. Love to make it 5 rounds would be even better. If not, fine. 3's fine, but love to see these guys fight again. Was superb.
It was, mate. It was an absolute belter. I really enjoyed it. It was a cracking fight to watch.
What about one last thing before we move on to have a quick look at Kira this weekend? Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah, again, it was like Dariush for me. He grew into the fight. He got better and better as the fight went on, and he dominated Sean Brady in the end. I was so surprised at how easy he actually dealt with Sean Brady in the end. I think Brady's fucking tremendous. Maybe doesn't get enough finishes for my liking. I know he's had a couple of submissions in his last, is there fights that he had in the UFC? Is that his 6th fight in the UFC? He's only 2 finishes in there. I think that's one thing that lacks for Sean Brady. I'd like to see him finish more people, but he's a sensational fighter. So for Miller Muhammad to, pardon me, make that look quite easy, was absolutely tremendous, mate. He looks so good. The fact that he's rolling with Khabib now as well, man, he's just going to get better and better. And you could see that relentlessness, the way he pushed forward and pressed and pressed and pressed. I wouldn't let Sean Brady come forward. It was sensational. It was brilliant. Great performance.
It was, mate. It was stunning. He's like that, though. He's relentless. Like Bilal, you can't out-grind and out-engine Bilal Muhammad. Bilal Muhammad's got a crazy pace for 15 minutes. Sean just looked dead on his feet by the end of it, to be honest. By the end of it, I think it was more so much the punch. But, yeah, Bilal, he's an animal, mate. I mean, is he top 5 material in 170? That's really, really hard to know because, I mean, he's in the top 5, but is he going to get anywhere near? I mean, if I don't know, man. I always try and compare. You look at, right, okay, who's next for him? Who's above him? Right, if he fights Chimaev would, I think he would struggle with Chimaev. I think he would struggle with Colby, because everybody struggles with Colby. Even Kamaru Usman struggled a bit with Colby at first. You know what I mean? Like, is he going to be any better than what he is now?
It's difficult to say, mate. It's very difficult to say. Again, you've got three or four guys at the top of that division who are way ahead of everybody else in the division. Look at Jeff Neal sitting sixth. I know he had a great win against Vicente Luque and stuff like that, but for me, Jeff Neal is not in the same category as Gilbert Burns, Chimaev, Covington, Usman. Do you know what I mean? So you've got that kind of, there's a decent side gap there between that top 4 or 5, and Bilal Muhammad's basically stuck in between that kind of, he's not had a chance to fight one of the top four guys yet. He called out Chimaev fucking 1,000 times and Dana's no gave him it. He could maybe fight, for me, if he fights Gilbert Burns next, I think that's, there's two guys who are kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere. They're better than everybody else behind them, but we don't know. More Gilbert Burns, we know he's probably not quite good enough to be a champion, but Bilal Muhammad, we don't quite know that yet, so maybe that's a fight to make. I think I read somewhere that Dana really wants to make Chimaev Covington for UFC London. Also looking at, obviously, Edward Usman will be on that as the, so I'd imagine that'll be there just in case as well. That'll be used as a kind of backup fight as well with regards to that. So the top four guys are all sewn up straight away. Do you know what I mean? If you can make that Covington Chimaev fight, the top four guys are, they're gone. They're all fighting each other. So we kind of, they fuck all about that type of thing. So the only other fight there for me is probably Gilbert Burns, unless UFC Fight Night 217, Shavkat Rakhmonov absolutely destroys Jeff Neal inside a couple of minutes, and maybe you make that fight.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I was looking at Jeff Neal, and he's fighting Rakhmonov. Yeah, he could. Listen, I don't know. We'll see. Bilal's not really in a rush, clearly. He did call out Leon Edwards, which I thought was a bit cheeky. But
there's no point. It sounds stupid. There's no point in him being in a rush. There could be, you could end up with three fights between Edwards and Usman. You could end up with another two fights there. So the division's probably held up for the best part of our year already, because if Usman beats Edwards, Edwards will probably call for a third fight just to ding it. No necessarily. I'm not saying he deserves, obviously, not Usman out in the first fight, but if you look at it, Usman obviously battered him for fucking four rounds. So does he really deserve the third fight? Don't know about that, but he'll call for that. He'll want that. Maybe he'll get it, and that could hold the division up for the best part of the year. So Muhammad, he can't be in a rush, because there's no point in being in a rush for me, because there's at least three fights in front of him for a belt. Yeah. So he's got to look at the guys behind him or the guys coming up. But obviously, he just moved ahead of Gilbert Burns in the rankings. He can maybe fight Gilbert Burns. You're looking at Rakhmonov coming through. They're kind of guys that Paul and Malel Mahab is probably looking at this moment in time.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll see. Interesting. And there was some performance by Bilal. I was quite impressed. Quite enjoyed that one.
Yeah, so did I, mate. I thought he was superb.
Right. Let's look at this weekend. I just want to talk about Kater Allen. I don't really want to talk about the rest of it. It's good fights on it, but nothing majorly sticking out. But Calvin Kater versus Arnold Allen is a fight and a half, by the way.
Mate, this is fight of the year material, mate. This could be absolutely fucking sensational. This could literally be 25 minutes of two guys knocking seven stages of shit each other, and I cannot fucking wait for it.
Got a question for you.
What?
Do you think Allen will struggle with Kater's volume?
No.
Kater throws a lot. Like, a lot. Why do you not think he will?
But even if Allen is struggling with him, it wouldn't surprise me if Allen maybe would go to his wrestling game. He has got a decent wrestling game, Allen. He possibly could go down that route and decide, right, well, if I'm struggling with Calvin Kater's volume, as you say, could he use that as a way of beating Kater? I don't think he will struggle. I think the two of them will go fucking hell for leather constantly through the fight. Honestly, I think this could be a record for punches thrown between two guys. I really do think that this is just going to be absolutely sensational. I just cannot fucking wait for it, mate. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's for. I don't know what the purpose of this fight is, apart from the fact that it sounds fucking sensational. Just cannot wait. I don't think there's a fight I've looked for. Even though, obviously, this card at the weekend was so fucking good, this fight is just, like, I love this fight. I absolutely fucking love it.
It's the only thing really, really, like, getting me going for this fight. The only thing I think, excuse me, that annoys me about this card is these two guys fighting deserve to be in front of a crowd. The style that they will fight, as you say, it's going to be two guys, 25 minutes, knocking seven shades of shit at each other. It needs a crowd. It needs 10, 12, 13,000 people in fucking some sort of arena in Texas, or even up where Calvin's from. Is Calvin no from Boston? So if he's from Mass, so even put it in his hometown or somewhere in Mass, get at least some booing, some cheering. Honestly, man, I think the UFC have done these guys like serious dirty here, because these boys deserve to be fighting in front of a crowd. I think it's one of the worst things I've seen in terms of a fight in the Apex. Seen a lot of fights in the Apex, obviously because of COVID that we had no choice, but this should 100% be in front of a crowd.
I agree this fight should be in front of a crowd 100%. I think as much as it is going to be a sensational fight, the crowd being behind either one of these guys would make it even better again. Fighters always get a lift for the crowd, man. It makes a massive difference to them. I can see, looking at the rest of the card, why it's not in front of a crowd. So there's no reason to force this card to go in front of a crowd, because I think, I'm not saying you struggle to sell tickets for it. No, no way in shape or form. UFC will never struggle to sell tickets. But there's nothing else on the card that you go to, fuck, that needs to be in an arena in front of people. Do you know what I mean? There's no other standout fights. Obviously, you'd Barboza Topuria on it before Barboza got injured. That would have been an absolute belter in front of a crowd as well. That would have been sensational to have in front of a crowd. So I can understand why it's not. I think, apart from the pay-per-views, I think every card between now and the end of the year is on the Apex as well.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this is just the UFC getting Apex used up by the end of the year, and maybe next year they can start properly getting back out on the road and getting these fight nights in the arenas that a lot of these fight cards develop, man.
Need to be in front of fans, because they'll sell tickets. That's the thing, that fight alone. Honestly, if that had been somewhere up in Massachusetts, mate, it would have sold out and no bother. Hometown boy fighting, you know, one of the best in the division. It's such a shame for me. But hey ho, that is what it is.
I'll be a belter, mate. I can't wait for it. Cannot fucking wait for it. As I said previously, I don't know what the fight means. I don't know what's next for these guys. If Alan Darling beats Kelvin Kattar or vice versa, I don't know what's next. Because the division is a wee bit weird. Obviously, Volkanovski's got up to 155 to fight Makachev, but it's other things. And, I don't know. I have no idea. It'll be interesting to see what's next, man.
It will be. All right, like this.
Thanks so much.
Okay, good stuff. Right, thank you as always for listening, guys. We do appreciate it. Get us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at NCKGMMA. We do weekly fight picks for all the events. So, give us a follow, interact with us. And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.